Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
FM News Talk 97.1. Podcast.
Are you going to support the president or do you not know yet?
I have not made any decision on that front, so we'll wait. This is way too early for that.
They're full of crap.
Well, thank you, Mittens, for telling us that you haven't made your mind up yet. You haven't found a snowflake that fits your liking. Wow. That guy never fails to disappoint. Can I just tell you that? Happy Monday morning. How's everybody doing?
Happy Monday.
Very well.
We're good.
A little Gloria going on in the background.
Hey,
there.
It's a great blues weekend.
It was a great weekend.
We're not playing it 24 hours a day. Yet, but I think Y98's going to do that again when they win this series tomorrow night.
Series, yep.
At home, what a setup. Isn't that a beautiful opportunity?
That'd be so much fun.
The Sharks looked lost at points in that game yesterday.
And let's hope they stay that way. I mean, they were losing some players left and right as well, so
yeah,
we'll take it.
Yeah, they got a beating. 5-0?
Was it five? Was that the final?
Yeah,
I thought it was 4.
Nope.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah,
what time did you say the game is tomorrow? I'm
7.
Okay. We can watch that then. That's not too late for us.
I'm watching at home, and I missed part of the first quarter. I watched the whole second period, and then I came back in the third. And when I walked into the room, it's a cutaway of the audience, and I'm looking at it.
Dropping like flies.
No, I'm looking at the crowd, and I'm like, oh my God, this game is in San Jose.
Yeah.
And every person in this shot is wearing a Blues jersey. How the hell did all those people get to San Jose for this game?
Love it.
And the shot was up for like 2 minutes, it seemed like. And then they finally said, you're looking live at a shot from the Enterprise Center in St. Louis where all the fans showed up. But I thought it was San Jose because they stayed on the shot for so long.
That's
pretty
amazing. Funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just look at center ice. It'll tell you where they are.
Well, no, but it was just the cutaway of the audience, and all these people had Blues jerseys on, which I thought was fantastic. But
yeah, I think that was a success, having the watch party at Enterprise. Yeah, how
they had like,
cool
like
is that?
8,000 people down there. And,
so cool.
And they all paid what?
$10
to get in?
Or $5 if you're a season ticket holder.
Oh, wow.
I made the mistake of trying to get out of town, out of the city yesterday, over into Illinois at about 2:30, which was like Cardinals and Blues at the same thing. I spent so much time downtown. I'm like, very happy for our city right now, but like, I was very stuck.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we're glad that they're coming back. They're going to wrap this thing up at home, and then they're going to be playing for the cup.
It'd be so exciting.
That's going to be pretty awesome. It's been a long, long time.
Very long
time. It
really
has. Yeah. All right. Lots to get to for you still. The president has been talking about Iran. He's been tweeting about some stuff that's got the left top of their heads blowing off this morning. But, you know, his foreign policy is unlike that of his predecessors. He doesn't draw a line in the sand and keep stepping back from it. He's just warning them up front. Don't do this. They're in the South China Sea this morning. They're off the coast of Iran. We're going to give you updates on that as the morning goes along, so stay tuned. But right now, let me get to my guest, please. He is Rodney Boyd, who I'm sure needed to catch up on his sleep after a long week in Jeff City last week. Rodney, how are you?
Hey, man, I am well. What a remarkable journey this session has been. And you were there from the first day to the end, my friend.
Man, I tell you what, there were a few surprises and, quite frankly, at least one big disappointment as far as I was concerned when it came to the fact that at the end of the session, H.J.R. 54, which was Dean Plocker's bill, which seemed to make so much sense to me with or without a better together plan on the board, that they couldn't manage to get a vote. And I'd love to find out who the person was responsible for that, not ultimately at least going to the floor for a Senate vote.
Yeah, I mean, I think when Better Together sort of pulled the plug, imploded, it took a lot of wind out of that sail, and there was a huge pivot in the building, as you were very aware, toward the abortion bill, GM, and a couple of other big issues. And so with all of the energy being pulled away from Better Together and focused on trying to get the heartbeat bill passed and the GM package done, there just really was very little oxygen for 54. A lot of people from outstate who had these other priorities just did not see the urgency in that bill at the time. And Dean was working it. I can tell you this, Dean Plocker, the sponsor, on the last 48 hours of session was running around doing everything he could, pushing and pulling. But if you were in the building, the context in that last 48 to 72 hours was all around the abortion bill. And he was over in the Senate, and he was everywhere trying to get it done. It just was not the focus on the issue.
Yeah, I hate to seem conspiratorial, but I suspect there was some pressure being applied as well, because we think Better Together's statewide vote plan is dead, but all we know is that the petition's been withdrawn. As we've learned in the past, that petition had already been withdrawn and refiled a couple of times. I just hate that they wouldn't. That somebody wouldn't have had the foresight to go ahead and try to push this thing through unless there was a lot of pressure on a couple of senators not to let a vote be taken on it, because the people Better Together knew what was going to happen if that passed.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah, and there might be some of that. I didn't see that because of all the focus on a couple of the other big priorities. But as you said a few minutes ago, there were some twists and turns that before the legislative spring break, I didn't see coming. And after spring break, the session took on some dimensions and some twists that just were like, wow. I mean, remember we came back from spring break and we were talking about Title IX in a way that we hadn't been before. We all of a sudden started talking about GM. We started talking about what Missouri's version of the abortion legislation would be. And those conversations turned hot and heavy in a way that before spring break, they were dormant, docile. They were chatter, but they weren't. The volume wasn't as high as they ended up becoming.
Yeah, that's true. The Title IX changes didn't make it through, did they?
Oh, they did not, sir.
No, I didn't think so.
They did not. They gave way to a bunch of heat and rhetoric and ended up sort of being pulled. The speaker at the end of the day pulled those issues, laid them aside because he wanted to focus on what he considered to be other priorities.
In the House?
In the House. Yes.
Okay. All right. So they never even made it out of the House. I wasn't sure because we had a couple people on here talking about that issue. And basically, correct me if I'm wrong, Rodney, that's the one that changed the way sexual assault allegations were dealt with on a college campus, correct?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it did. Yep.
It guaranteed that the accused had more of an equal voice, or some, depending on how you want to look at it. Obviously, the opponents might not phrase it that way, but that fell to defeat. I'm guessing we'll hear about it again.
It was considered adding an element of due process when the accusations are made that doesn't exist in the Title IX system now, and it was very, very controversial. Some people felt like it was putting too much pressure on the victims during that phase in the process where they should be free. Others felt like it was necessary because of the lack of due process. At the end of the day, the legislature could not coalesce around what version of this would get through, and they really didn't want to have this consume as much oxygen in the building as it was, and they really did want to get to the abortion issue, finish the budget, deal with the potential GM issue. I mean, a lot of people don't realize how much energy went into that GM package. Before session, as we said, it wasn't even an issue in the building. It
right.
wasn't something that people were focused on. And the governor very, very politically, savvily attached his workforce deal closing items into that GM package. And that's what led to, if you obviously heard about the near 30-hour filibuster. Remember, before the break, we were talking, and you and I were wondering aloud, could the governor get his workforce agenda passed, the conservatives in the Senate? And ultimately, tying it to the GM package became the way he got it done, and he did indeed get it done.
Yeah.
So for Governor Parsons, this proved to be effectively a very good session as far as the agenda items that he outlined. Did he get exactly what he wanted? No, but he got about 90% of it.
Yeah, I had him on last week, and he was taking a little bit of a victory lap because he did get what he wanted in that, and you know, some of the callers here were unhappy with what the governor did, and I wasn't happy with the workforce development side of it and all the extra money that got spent, because I think we should be spending less and not more. But ultimately, in the scheme of things, you do have to admire the fact that you had a governor in there who saw that opportunity and took it. I don't agree with what he attached to that bill and how they did it. But ultimately, he kind of put the conservative caucus down there in the Senate between a rock and a hard place, and said, if you want the abortion stuff, the pro-life bill, you're going to have to end this filibuster and give us an up or down vote.
No, that was absolutely accurate. You know, and to his credit, whether you like the content of his legislative agenda, this was a governor that was in the hallways. I mean, I saw him the last day of session for 3 or 4 hours lobbying members himself. I hadn't seen that. I've been around Jeff City for a long time. You really don't see governors walking the halls, pulling members aside, telling them why something's important. And so whether you like, once again, the content of what he passed, this was a governor that for the last 10, 12 years was more engaged than any governor I've ever seen, maybe even 20 years. So kudos to Governor Parsons for being engaged in the process, being accessible to the members, listening to their thoughts as well, because believe me, he heard as much as he spoke about what he wanted and what people didn't like. So it's a good day. It's a good day when a governor is that accessible to members of the public and members of the assembly.
Yeah. The low-income housing tax credit issue came up again. That didn't end up getting a vote either, did it?
It did not.
I didn't think so.
That is an industry that is comprised of a number of very strong-willed people, sir. and I will tell you that getting to a reform package that pleases all of the members of that coalition is a huge task. And even though there was a lot of effort by different segments of the industry, even the governor tried to bring everyone together into his office and say, okay, let's get a deal. There were some people that just couldn't cross the threshold of what the deal contained, and so ultimately it failed. And it's going to be an issue where the governor seems to have said, okay, then the industry will continue to be dormant, which means there will be no state subsidy, no state allocation for the program going forward. So it's going to force everyone in the interim, and the interim starts effectively now through December 1st, to get back in the room and try to figure out what a compromise looks like and bring something forward. Well, you know, the art of compromise, as you know, Mark, is everybody doesn't get what they want. Most people end up relatively unhappy, but the overall package allows people to move forward. And that's where they're going to have to get on low-income housing tax credits in Missouri, if the program's ever going to come back into utilization.
Safe to say that is the issue that probably most marked the Greitens governorship. I mean, he wanted to end that. And in the end, it may well have been that action that ended his governorship.
Well, he did end it. He ended the program. It's still a dormant program.
Right.
It means it's on the books and not being utilized. And it was probably one of the, you know, if there's a saying, straw that broke the camel's back. You got to remember, Governor Greitens was fighting everybody. He was fighting organized labor. He was fighting the trial lawyers. He took on the pro Choice Coalition, and he also took on the entire industry that supports the low-income housing tax credit. And what he did was he brought that coalition together in a very focused way. Hey, get rid of him. So, yeah, it was probably the straw that broke the camel's back, but it was one of a number of aligned forces where people said, we got to get rid of this guy. So the coalition was close. I mean, I heard some of the chatter. It seemed to me they could have, a couple of players could have come to the table and said, okay, we'll sacrifice more, but they just didn't. holding out for I think what they think is a little bit better. But I think they'll get together. This industry services a lot of parts of the state, not just St. Louis and Kansas City, and the need for what they do is only going to grow and be more pent up. So, you know, it's a big issue. I'm sure it'll be back. In the meantime, we are, for those who listen, we are effectively done with the session until January of next year.
Yeah. I'll say it, Rodney. I would say Governor Greitens brought the low-income housing tax credit industry together in a very forceful way to the tune of about $120,000. If I had to guess.
I believe it's probably a lot more than that.
To quote a specific amount of money that was dropped off with a local attorney, I would guess that's the dollar amount at least that it brought them together. So that didn't make it out of session. So the next question is PDMP. That didn't get a vote either. And I had an interesting conversation over the weekend with an emergency room physician who's on the front lines in many cases of this opioid battle, and he was expressing to me his extreme disappointment over the fact that they didn't do something on with PDMP, because he talked about some of the successes he saw in other states, and he sees firsthand people coming in there that he knows come to ERs at 2 a.m. with some mystery ailment in hopes of getting their hands on some Oxycontin or whatever the case may be, and he wishes there was some way to track it. That got killed this year.
It did, and I'll tell you, while the political conversation was volatile and unfruitful, the crisis outside the building continues to evolve in our state. The challenge is there are a number of conservative legislators who don't believe that the PDMP program is the solution that the proponents keep proffering that it will be. And so I think what's going to have to happen is, once again, like LIHTC, in the interim, people who want the PDMP program are going to they're not going to be able to wait until next January. They're going to have to go make the case. We know now clearly that there's at least 4 to 6, maybe more, conservative senators that don't buy it. Somebody's going to have to take the time on the proponent side to go visit individually with these senators, show them why the program works, find out what their particular critique of it is, and try to come up with a package that they can buy into. I think the governor would have signed a PDMP bill. It wasn't on his priority list, so he didn't sort of carry the ball. There is some momentum in the House. The House was able to coalesce around this. And I think the Republicans in the House who want this are going to have to literally take some time this summer and in the fall and convince the conservatives, if they can be convinced, why this is important. And I think there's a way forward. I'm not the proprietor of that way, but I think that you're going to have to take a look at what's worked in some conservative states, what's worked and what has protected citizens in those states. Because, look, there are some very red and conservative states and very conservative legislatures that have passed versions of this. So it's not that it's impossible. I just think the folks that are opposing it here, remember it was one person last year, now it's grown to 4 to 6. So the opposition forces are growing, not shrinking. So it's going to take some interim dialogue and some serious conversations and considerations, I think, to get that through next year.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people that are just dead set against any sort of list like that being built that they think would lead to abuses down the road. Rodney, at this point, is there any talk of a special session to maybe get to some of those issues that they didn't get to during the regular session?
I can honestly say zero.
Zero. Okay.
Zero, zero. Zero special session talk. There would have been had there not been an abortion bill, GM, or one of those other mega issues that people were pouring their energy into in the last couple of days, mm-hmm. But there's no talk of that now.
Well, that's good to hear. I know it costs money to do that, and it had to be a pretty major pull for them to be called back into session.
Absolutely.
Good. Rodney Boyd, listen, thanks for your insight on all of this, and you've been very helpful, as usual, during the legislative session for us, because you're down there all the time, and you kind of have your finger on the pulse. We appreciate it, my friend.
Well, and thank you for opening up your airwaves to the issues in Jefferson City. I know that it's easy for people to get caught up in the federal conversation, even a few local issues, but as you and I have talked about for many years now, what happens in Jefferson City has almost as is more of a significant impact on your listeners, many of them who live and work in Missouri, than anything that happens in D.C. over a prolonged period of time, and certainly impacts the local issues greatly. So thank you and your show for really lending a microphone to these issues throughout the session.
Yeah, and Rodney, now that things have ended down there, maybe we can get you in the studio one of these weeks.
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
We would be remiss if we did not end with Let's Go Blues. Let's Go Blues.
Absolutely. Rodney Boyd, thank you.
I'm going to keep calling him Con Don because that's what he deserves to be called. He's a con man, and we New Yorkers know a con man when we see one.
And not immigration reform that is based on exciting and inciting those people who have negative thoughts about others coming across our border and basically working to use that information to promote himself in a campaign. And I think it is some of that is very racist.
If we're talking, for example, about climate change, what the scientists tell us is that we have 12 years before irreparable damage is done to this planet. Beating Trump is not good enough. You got to beat the fossil fuel industry. You have to take on all of those forces of the status quo.
That's sick. Those are corrupt bastards, Chris.
And the attacks keep happening. 24 is the magic number now. Did you know that?
24? I thought it was 23.
No,
yeah,
I thought
it was 23 this morning.
It's 24.
Oh, you told us 23 this morning.
Does anybody really know?
I think 23 was without Schultz, and then we grouped him in.
And we grouped, yeah,
oh,
yeah.
I think that might be where that number came from.
Here, I can. Can you? We said earlier we probably couldn't sit down and name them all.
No, that's a game we're gonna play on break.
Oh, we are.
Let's play it.
Yeah. Oh, you want to play that game?
Can, yeah, let's see who can list the most.
Oh,
of them.
Gosh!
But I've cheated because I've already just looked at the list. You took and play.
I've looked at the list too, and I've forgotten.
But I'm looking at it right now.
Well, yeah, you can't play right now.
I can't play right now because I just refreshed my memory. But, the list is long, so long that they're adding in the names of people not running. There's even a list of people not running, and they're not including Howard Schultz in this. So let me see here. We'll just do a little count as we go along. How about this? Is that okay? You want to play the game or not?
Nope.
No, you don't want to play the game?
Let's Denise and I see how many we can knock off here.
Okay. All right, okay.
Kamala,
okay. Buttigieg,
Biden.
Okay.
who? Cory Booker.
Oh no.
There's that Bullock guy.
Yeah.
There you go. Bullock. You said Biden already. Yeah. Bernie.
Oh yeah, Bernie
Warren.
Sanders.
Is Beto Elizabeth still? Warren, Beto still in it?
Yeah.
Okay, we're up.
What
to
are we at?
Eight.
De Blasio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Wait here.
De Blasio just announced we're at 9.
Mm-hmm.
I am hitting a wall.
Yeah, nine. I hit it first.
Deep throat. Remember that guy?
Oh, Hickenlooper.
Hickenlooper.
Oh, Hickenlooper.
Yeah.
Keep the hints coming. So
that's
we're at
10.
I've got 13 plus Schultz left.
Oh boy. Yeah, some of them I don't even know how to give you hints because
oh, Gillibrand.
I've
oh,
never
yeah.
heard of some of these people
is
before this.
Is Klobuchar running too?
She is.
So we're up to 12.
Mm-hmm. The yin and the
Yang.
Oh,
Andrew
oh
yeah, Yang. Andrew 13. Yang. Yeah, don't forget about that. The Yang and the
only 10 to go.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good enough, isn't it?
That's not bad. You got 13. You got 13 of the 23.
And we pay attention.
I know, like, that's the scary thing.
Who are the will you rattle off the rest of them?
So I'm going to go through. I these are all not in order. So, and you've mentioned some of them, but you got de Blasio, Bullock, Bennett.
No idea.
Biden. That's Bennett. Michael Bennett, a Colorado senator. Buttigieg, right? Seth Moulton, Eric Swalwell, Ohio Swalwell. Representative Swalwell. Tim Ryan.
Ryan's running too.
Kirsten Gillibrand, right? Beto O'Rourke. That brings us up to 10 with that number. John Hickenlooper. Right? Mm-hmm. Jay Inslee, who's a governor, like out in Washington or something, right?
He was running.
Bernie Sanders, who you mentioned. Amy Klobuchar. Pocahontas. Elizabeth Warren is running, of course. Cory Booker. Mm-hmm. Kamala Harris. Mm-hmm. Ex-San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro.
He's running, too.
Okay. Tulsi Gabbard, who's a congresswoman from Hawaii, is running. John Delaney, a former congressman, I should say. I don't know where he's from.
Nobody does.
Miramar, Florida Mayor Wayne Messam, author Marianne Williamson, and former tech executive Andrew Yang. So you're right. That's 23 that are officially running right there.
Yeah, and we missed Bennett, Moulton, Swalwell, who we should have gotten. Tim Ryan didn't know was running. Inslee didn't know was running. Castro didn't know was running. Tulsi didn't know was running. Delaney never heard of. Messam never heard of. And Williamson, bless her heart.
Well, it's not a surprising that you haven't heard of Messam or Williamson. I mean, she's a community activist, and he's a mayor in Miramar, Florida, which
I'm usually so up on my Miramar politics.
I know
it's
you are.
Amazing that
I'm surprised.
That.
I'm surprised. William Weld is running on the Republican side, if you remember. Mm-hmm. And Howard Schultz, is considering an independent run, but he's already held town halls on Fox and on CNN. Talking about his run for the presidency. So I don't even know that he's a Democrat running as an independent because he saw an opportunity there. He may end up backing out now that Biden's in.
Or maybe he's trying to do what Biden did and wait till he thinks everybody's announced. Because that was kind of Biden's play, right? Wait,
sure.
But then people keep jumping in afterwards. Maybe he's trying to take that.
What do you do? So here's the thing about it. They all keep trying to get to the left of the other one. Mm-hmm. They had... One of Lachlan Murdoch, one of Rupert's sons, who basically runs the network these days, has clearly put the call out to try to get as many of these liberals as possible on their air for reason.
So you hate this? Because to me, this is just a smart play by the network. But do you think it's...
I don't understand it.
Okay.
Because I don't know why you would want to help them.
I don't think, it's as far as informing the country, but you can't do it with Republican candidates and you can't pretend like it's not happening.
Well, maybe, but I don't think I could watch more than a few minutes of this, and I'll tell you why.
I'm sure it's hurting ratings.
Listen to Pete Buttigieg last night talking about the five different tax hikes he would immediately impose if America elects him president of the United States.
We really do need to entertain ideas like a fairer, which means higher, marginal income tax rate on those earning the most, a reasonable wealth tax or something like that to make sure that people are giving back when they become enormously wealthy, perhaps a financial transactions tax that taxes these millisecond differences in computer trades that people become enormously wealthy off. I'm not saying we ban them, but since it's not obvious how much real value they're adding to the economy, the least we could do is get some value for the American people. And also closing the corporate tax loopholes and incentives for offshoring.
Keeping track. Five new tax proposals, and of course, he hedges them all as either being fair or reasonable. Whenever you hear a Democrat say something along those lines,
this isn't fair.
You need to run in the opposite direction because they're reaching for your wallet even as they say it. This is not fair.
But I know how to make it fair.
We need to make this equitable. We need to make sure this group is paying more money than that group. Yeah, this is not fair. That's what you get with progressives. Let me tell you what. We'll talk more about the whole college education thing. Fascinating conversation for me about politicians running for office claiming that they're going to give you free higher education. Since when is that anything about that free is what I want to know. Okay. Sammy Hagar is a little tired after his concert last night.
He was a little delayed.
He's a little delayed this morning.
It's okay. I tried to sync the show earlier, so.
He played this last night, by the way. That's why I picked it. What an awesome concert. Sammy did a great job. He had Vince Neil, the former Motley Crue frontman there.
Who looks awesome, I heard.
There's a lot more of Vince than there used to be. Can I just say that?
Just more to love.
He's more of a man than he used to be. There's a lot of him. His voice is not all that it used to be, but they played a lot of, obviously, mostly Motley Crue last night. And when he couldn't remember the words, he just held the mic out to the audience because we were singing it along with him.
Good old Vince.
That's why I'm a little hoarse this morning.
Good old
Vinny. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, good.
Okay.
Vince
like, is there more?
Right,
go
now.
On.
No, but I did.
It's okay, baby.
It's okay, baby. I did want to say.
Forget about that one. Darn it.
If you're on Facebook and you don't follow the Baldwin Police Department, maybe you don't live there. I don't live in Baldwin, but I followed them a while back because the reports that the weekly wrap that they post on their on the Facebook page is often worth reading. The one this week is worth reading because there's some funny stuff on there, some of which I probably can't repeat on the radio, but this one was pretty funny. It says, this weekend, officers responded to a suspicious person call at a local nursing home. Upon arrival, it was determined that an intoxicated male in a Blues jersey, which is the exact description of about half the greater St. Louis population right now, stumbled into the nursing home going room to room trying to find his hotel room number.
Oh, no.
The person was assisted in finding his habitat, wherever that was.
His so habitat.
They clearly helped him out there. So anyway, that's usually a report worth reading.
I think that's so good when police departments and like different service first responders organizations have good, clever social medias.
Yes.
Like you remember when they were doing all the music videos, all the police departments were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just think it's so good for morale and community involvement and engagement.
Yeah. Well, you got to have.
I mean, otherwise, most people are going to take the time to read that. Like, I'm going to follow Baldwin Police because I know that they have some, you know, you're getting information, but they're also giving you entertainment.
Yes.
You know,
somebody suggested to follow one time and I went and looked at it. I'm like, yeah, I got to follow that. I got to get those updates when they come across. They're usually pretty clever.
It also makes the cops seem like normal people, which they are. Like it just humanizes everybody and makes you all on the same page.
Yeah.
I like it.
Very true.
It's cool.
Very true. All right. Hey, I tell you what, coming up, we're going to get you a little Monday motivation from Jesse Jane Duff, former gunnery sergeant in the United States Marine Corps. We'll get her take on what happened over the weekend with the president and some of these comments by the 23 leftists that are running for president right now. It's always a fun time.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.